are recording now. So good afternoon. My name is Nick Angarone. This is Michael Culver, Carmen Valentin. We're from the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, Office of Coastal and Land Use Planning. We're here today to talk about the Resilient NJ grant application process in response to a notice of fund availability. The way that this is going to go this afternoon is I'm going to go through a relatively quick presentation, and then we are going to open it up to a Q&A session. Before we get started, a few notes. We do have some limitations on the amount of information we can provide in response to some of your questions. Specifically, we cannot provide you answers, direct answers, on whether your specific organization is eligible for certain activities in the program. We're going to need you to look at the application document and make those determinations. Similarly, we cannot tell you if one of your specific past projects runs into the duplication of benefits issues. Again, we're going to need you to make that determination on your own. Additionally, we cannot provide you additional information at this point about the makeup or the specific date when an RFP and another notice of funds availability, NOFA, will be published, largely because we don't know the answers to that yet, but we are working on that and don't have additional information to provide. Again, if you have not already and you are have questions you have already and you haven't already, please put them in writing and provide them to Michael. We will read them and go through them as part of the Q&A session. We are using that information, using the recording, using notes that we take here. We are compiling all of your questions and answers that we provide. They are going into an FAQ document. The initial version of the FAQ document, based on the first two information sessions such as this, was posted on the program's website this morning. That program website, I'll show you the link to at the end. But if you go to the department's website, you should be able to find it. Again, the name of the program is Resilient NJ. So I'm going to go through the presentation. I ask that you hold your questions to the end. All right, so a quick overview of the program. The program is funded by the National Disaster Resilience Competition, NDRC. It is HUD CDBG-DR funding, so if you are familiar with those, with the requirements of those that funding source, this will be very similar as you go through this process. The Resilient NJ program will fund the development of up to 5 regional resilience action plans and ultimately implement some of the planning options that come out of that. The focus of the resiliency is focused on flooding, particularly coastal and or riverine and their confluence. The program will prioritize engagement and resilience of socially vulnerable populations. The program will identify and address gaps in your flood resiliency within your awarded regions. We will seek to reach underserved populations, ensure the representation and participation of socially vulnerable populations in the planning process, with a specific focus on addressing their risks and their needs. Finally, the program will seek to develop innovative and implementable solutions that increase flood resilience in both the short and long term. We will implement or advance prioritized actions to reduce your risk of flood-related hazards to your regions. We will seek to enhance the value and integrity of the ecological, recreational, and economic resources in your region and ensure collaboration amongst a wide variety of stakeholders. This is a simple representation of the project timeline. We are largely in the first block here. The notice of funds availability was published in the New Jersey Register on May 21st. Subsequent to that, there was a press release by the department, I believe on the 22nd or 23rd. the applications in response to this NOFA will be are due to the department on July 20th. There will be an additional, and I'm going to touch on this a few times, there will be an additional notice of funds availability and RFP that come out of this program. They will happen at best late in the summer, later in this year. There will be a NOFA to bring on NGO technical support to the department, as well as a request for proposals to bring on the consultant teams. Again, I expect that process will happen later in 2018. Phase one of the plan is the planning phase. We expect that will start in early 2019 and will go through 2020. Phase two of the program is implementation of prioritized actions that come out of that plan. That the entire program must be complete by May of 2022. So some quick bullets on the structure of the program and the funding opportunities associated with it. You're here in response to a NOFA to select the regional teams. These regional teams, when selected, will, for all intents and purposes, be the area, the regions where this program takes place, where the planning takes place. There will be selection of consultant teams. The consultant teams will be providing the technical and planning support to the selected regions. Similarly, later this summer, there will be another NOFA to bring on a team of NGOs to provide technical support to the department and the program. Eligibility. The HUD identified 9 most impacted and distressed counties from Hurricane Sandy are the region of eligible local governments. Again, this is HUD, a HUD identified region. We do not get to select this. Your teams must include a minimum of 4 members. That's at least 3 contiguous municipalities and at least one community-based organization whose primary purpose is to serve underrepresented or socially vulnerable populations. Of your regional team, one entity must be listed as the prime. The prime must be eligible to receive and distribute grants from the state. So what is the prime? The purpose of the prime is to act as lead for the regional team. They will coordinate the regional team members for all meetings and activities throughout the life of the program. They will manage and oversee grant reporting and distribution of funds to the team members. Any entity that is eligible to respond to this NOFA is eligible to be the prime. So that can be a municipality, a county, a community-based organization, a utility authority. I'm sure there are others that we are not necessarily thinking of. But anyone who's eligible to respond to the NOFA can be the prime as part of those regional teams. So what is involved for the team members of the regional teams? So for phase one, again, that's the planning phase. You're expected to attend and actively participate in project meetings and contribute to the development of the action plans. That includes participation in community outreach, asset identification and risk assessment, resiliency scenarios, and plan development. An important point here is your regions, your towns, your team will provide the vision and guide the development of the plans. This is not the state or contractors coming into your town and telling you this is how you have to respond, this is how you actions that you have to take. This is intended to take your guidance and your vision for your communities and provide you innovative, implementable actions to meet your vision while becoming more resilient. Based on the plans that are developed in phase one, prioritized actions will be identified for implementation in phase two. These actions can be single initiatives or multiple smaller activities. The consultant teams are responsible for, again, the technical and planning support in phase one, as well as the implementation of the actions in phase two. The regional teams will, this is you, are responsible for continued attendance and engagement with all activities, such as community outreach, throughout the life of the program. So what can the funds be used for? So your regional teams will receive a grant from the state. Those funds can be used to reimburse your staff time and expenses. That includes fringe, indirect, travel, supplies, up to the awarded amount. So I know a number of you are from consultants, so this is important. Any town that wishes to reimburse a consultant for their time using this funding on this project must procure that firm or individual through a specific procurement process for this purpose. That is a HUD procurement that is consistent with HUD procurement regulations. If any of you went through the local government assistance program, the planning grants through DCA over the last few years, this is the same requirement then, so you should be generally familiar with that. If your local governments have a consultant on retainer or under contract already, who were not separately procured for this grant program, they can still be included in the program, but cannot be used, funded through this process. They may be identified as match. Match is not required, but they may be identified as match in the application process. So what type of actions can we actually implement in phase two? So again, phase two will fund projects identified and prioritized in the outcome of phase one, which is a regional resilience action plan. Projects, these implemented actions and projects must comply with HUD requirements for planning only activities. That includes things such as, but not limited to, data gathering, studies, analysis, preparation of plans, ordinances, advanced analysis for long-range plannings, conceptual design of infrastructure projects, for example. The funds cannot be used for creating engineering or architectural drawings in support of construction. At no point will there be shovels in the ground using funding from this program. Again, that is a limitation on the program award from HUD. So your application requirements. We're going to be looking for you to provide us information on these four general areas. So there's a proposal narrative, which you will describe your flood risk and history. You'll detail your previous planning and regional initiatives. You will identify socially vulnerable populations that you're aware of. The application document does include a definition of socially vulnerable populations for the purpose of this program. You'll describe the region who is applying for the grant in terms of unique assets, unique challenges for resiliency, other characteristics. There are additional requirements beyond the narrative. They include a duplication of benefits affidavit where you will detail your previous resiliency grant programs and projects. And again, we're looking to ensure that there's no duplication of benefit here. We will require letters of commitment from each of the team member, both recognizing the prime, but also to approving participation in the, we're offering participation in the program. We will also be requiring you to propose a budget. The budget will not affect the scoring and selection of the awardees. It will, however, determine the amount of the award that each region will get. So the application criteria on which your applications will be based falls into three categories. Maximum score is 100 points. So the first category is your demonstration of need, which is 40 points. Again, we'll be looking for you to identify past flooding events, future vulnerability, providing detailed descriptions of your vulnerable populations, the impact of past disasters on those vulnerable populations, specifically to highlight areas that qualify as low and moderate income. Again, there is an appendix in the application document that identifies areas of low and moderate income. Demonstration of capacity, again, is another 40 points. And here we're looking to make sure that your project team has the capacity to get the job done. Again, understanding that the primary purpose of the project team is to guide the development of the plans. However, the prime in particular has responsibilities and requirements for management of the grant, distribution of funds, providing reporting to the department, and the like. And then the final piece is a regional description, which is 20 points. So here we want you to convince us why you should get these funds. What makes your region unique? What are your particular challenges? Why should the department invest the grant, as well as additional funding, the additional technical and planning support that will come from the consultants in your region? And that is, again, up to you to provide that information. Application submission, we need one electronic and three hard copies. It needs to be postmarked and emailed by noon on July 20th. It will go to Carmen Valentin at this address. And again, all of this is included in the application document. Once if and when your regions are selected for awarding, we will require a couple additional pieces of information. So beyond the letters of commitment, which was part of the application document, we'll need actually resolutions from governing bodies. We will need your grant audit reports. We will need a cost rate sheet for those of your staff who are participating in the program. HUD requires a citizen participation plan, again, which is also an appendix, where there's a link for it in the application document. We will also need an executed MOA or some other legal document allowing the prime to distribute the grant funds to the team members. So if you have any questions about the program that we don't answer today or that you do not see in an FAQ document, please email us at this address. We will seek to put your responses in the FAQ document, and we are trying to limit the number of responses to individual questions to ensure fairness and everybody gets answers at the same time. And this is the link to the program website. And again, this presentation will be posted on the program website, hopefully very soon. And again, the initial FAQ document has already been posted on that website. So with that, we're going to do some Q&A. Michael's going to go through the questions that we've received in writing at this point, and we'll answer them and then open it up to additional questions.
Does the municipality have to go out to bid for the CBO? If the CBO will be prime and seeking reimbursement for staff time?
No.
The CBO is just a member of the team. The CBO is not, and is automatically eligible for participation in the program. The CBO is not the same as a consultant who would be supporting your team. So a CBO can be a participant in your team, can be the prime for your team. Their participation is totally reimbursable as part of this program.
Follow up on that?
While you're on the CBO subject, I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask, can that, as in the consultant engineer, can the CBO's hired staff be used as a match?
Can their hired staff, can the CBO staff be used as a match? They can be, but they're also eligible to be funded through this. The CBO staff is eligible to be funded through this grant program, just like local government.
Oh, okay.
If they hire, if the local government or the CBO hires a consultant, they have to go through that separate procurement process. If they have a consultant on board that didn't go through a separate procurement process, the consultant's time can be provided as match, although it's not required.
Okay.
But your CBO is no different as a participant than any other municipality or partner in the organizational team, can be treated the same way. And remember that it is a requirement that your region have at least one community-based organization. You can have more, just like you can have more than required municipalities. So These are all minimums.
That was, I don't mean to break into your questioning, but that was the other question. Does the CBO have to be connected to the municipalities that are participating, or could it be a regional group that's, such as a watershed association?
So Nick, I am going to read you a response to that question from our FAQ as soon as I find it.
It's in there.
Oh, there it is, right on the front. So here we go. DEP takes a broad view of what a community-based organization can be. Our focus is to ensure that socially vulnerable populations are represented in the planning process. Community-based organizations will be evaluated based on their demonstrated capacity to execute that activity. DEP cannot respond to individual questions about the eligibility of specific organizations. It's up to the organization to read the criteria and justify in its application why it is qualified to serve in that application, in that capacity, sorry. All right, Michael.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Can the CBO be a religious organization or a medical facility?
Yes, consistent with my the previously read answer.
Will there be any WBE/MBE percentage goals for these grants or work efforts?
Can you explain the acronyms?
That's women's minority business, small business.
No, as this is a planning only award from HUD, we're not required to meet those requirements.
Will county governments be allowed to participate or only municipalities?
County governments are eligible to participate, yes.
Can bodies of water connect two or more municipalities that would not be contiguous otherwise?
Yes. So, for example, if there is a river or a bay in between your local governments, but the boundaries are contiguous, and if they're in the middle of the water, yes, they can count as contiguous municipalities.
What types of expertise might DEP need from NGOs under the NGO NOFA?
So again, I can't provide additional information on that at this time, other than to note that the NOFA is currently being developed and will be issued hopefully late summer, early fall. All right, so with, those are all the submitted questions. So with that, we'll open it up to the audience. If you, when you ask your question, if you could provide your name and who you're representing here today, that would be helpful. So I'm going to start in the front and just go to the back.
Okay, I'm Paula Cazzarelli from the Borough of Little Ferry. I just wanted to know if there was a percentage incentive for the prime for more of the grant.
So that, yeah, there may be. That's up to the regional team to determine how they want to do that, but yes, the prime will have additional responsibilities, and from the department's perspective, they can get more than the rest of their team members to cover those costs.
It's up to the regions as they apply to budget, to create their own budget as part of this program that would include their feelings about different funding structures.
Similar question. My name is Kevin Stevens. I'm from Millennium Strategies. We're a grants consulting firm. The RFP recommends approximately 2 hours per month for each staff participant. I was wondering regarding the prime if there was a recommendation about how many hours the prime should budget for per month.
I do not believe that we have such a recommendation for the prime. Again, if you've participated in any CDBG grant program, you'll know that there are, you know, reporting requirements. This prime will have the responsibility to coordinate across the regional team members, so they'll have additional responsibilities that we're willing to kind of make an estimate for. That the teams will have to make a determination.
I just ask a follow-up question to that. There are some activities in the RFP listed about what the prime will be responsible for. do you view those as comprehensive, or is that, or are those just mere suggestions?
I think they are including but not limited to. So similarly to what I've identified in the presentation, those are the activities of the prime are include but are not limited to those activities. The prime presumably will also be an active participant in the vision and plan development, not presumably, again, it's up to your construction of your team, not just management, but they can be that as well if that's how you want to structure your team.
Can I elaborate on that?
Please.
So the prime will be required to collect the activities or compile the activities that the partners have participated in or have completed every month. They have to be submitted to us through CIROMS, which is the, right, you're familiar with CIROMS.
Can you just, for everybody, explain CIROMS or just tell them what
CIROMS
is?
Yeah, CIROMS is the grant management system for the CDBG grants. And we have a module specifically created for this program, all right? And there will be training for you folks once we get started on this. All right, so submitting monthly reports, collecting all the information to submit monthly reports, collecting all the information, receipts,
timesheets,
signed timesheets from every one of the partners, all right? And submitting invoice requests for reimbursement, and submitting all that information, which is documentation for the request for reimbursement. What else is there? That is actually the bulk of it, making sure your partners
right.
attend the meetings.
But on the other end, when the prime is reimbursed, the prime will be reimbursed. The prime will then have to distribute.
That's
the
right. That's a big responsibility as well. You have to reimburse them.
And do you mind if I ask a follow-up to that?
Go ahead.
Can the prime propose to hire a part-time person to be responsible for this, or must it be someone that's already employed?
I guess I would consider them a consultant.
If they're staff of the municipal body and they're hired as staff of the municipal body, that would be okay, right?
Yes.
As long as the prime doesn't get paid as well for the same tasks.
Right. Municipality X hires someone.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
So you
that's
can
fine.
Hire
that's staff.
If you bring on staff, full time or part time, to work on this, then they would be considered municipal staff. If you bring on a consultant through a contract, that would be separate, considered differently.
Thank you very much.
Nick?
Two questions. Nick Tafaro, Middlesex County Office of Planning. Ken, in this project, there's a citizen participation plan required. And it talks about adopting in full the state plan. My question is, are the state services that are listed in the state plan, will those same services be offered in the project plan if we fully adopt the state plan?
So the citizen participation plan?
There are services in the state plan that the state provides at different points. Will they be providing those same outreach services?
Nick, I'm going to have to get back to you on that one.
Okay.
Not familiar enough with the state plan to be able to answer that. But I will note, so this does not necessarily respond directly to the question about that citizen participation plan. However, one of the responsibilities of the regional team, and particularly the CBO, is to engage, right, is citizen participation. It is also a significant responsibility of the consultant teams that will be brought on to develop, oversee, and manage a very robust citizen participation process that is an important piece of this program that the public be involved throughout the process. I don't want to answer your specific question on the state citizen participation plan at this point.
We just want to make sure that
I'm giving you the right answer.
That announcements are made, that everyone is informed when a certain meeting is happening. Just public outreach announcements.
Okay, right. Well, you'll see what I mean when you look into the plan, because to fully adopt that means a lot of state services are going to be applied to those issues. And that's what we just want to correct, because that will affect the workload that we're doing. The other question, this is a reimbursement to the prime. And how is the reimbursement going to go on a quarterly? You're not advancing funds, you're reimbursing.
Correct.
The prime. So the prime is on the hook for $200,000 until the end of the project, or is there going to be a quarterly reimbursement so that it can be out and in and out and in?
You can bill us as often as monthly. We would like that, actually.
Okay.
All right?
And how? Okay, and then I guess you're going to determine how you're going to determine those buildings to be valid or see that in the audits. Is that how it's going to be? So if we did a monthly audit and we gave you a monthly bill, accepting that audit would be 90% of the way to get the payment?
Accept it. Do you just have to submit receipts, timesheets, signed timesheets, and so on? And then we will take a look at it, make sure everything adds up, make sure you did what you said you did, and we will ask for a funds request through the system, and then the check will be issued to the prime, the county in this case, if you're taking the lead.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Nick, can I want to go back to your previous question on the citizen participation plan. Make sure I understand your question. So you're asking whether when the regional teams, local governments, county governments adopt that citizen participation plan. Is your question whether they have to provide the same type of services that the state would do, or whether the state will be providing those services?
Well, that's exactly my question.
Okay.
In regards to your comment about the robust participation needed in this community outreach, it seems like 2 hours per month is a very low estimate given that need to perform this outreach. Would it be acceptable to budget for 4-6 hours per month?
Again, the estimate we provided, I think you should consider a minimum. We are not going to dictate to you how much time you spend on specific tasks. Again, recognize that the responsibilities of the regional teams, your local governments alike, and the community-based organization have a relatively limited list of activities that you have to be involved in. The consultant teams will be doing the vast majority of the work for you, right? So you know, for example, citizen participation, you know your public, you know, the CBO, you, your CBO are, you know, they're hopefully the trusted source, right, for the public, where the state contractors from outside your communities aren't going to be able to serve that role. That's the intent of that activity for the regional teams. However, the consultant team will be in charge of developing that, you know, citizen participation outreach and engagement plan, working with you to identify those groups, working with you as that trusted source for local organizations, but the consultants will be doing the vast majority of the work, from engagement, the planning work, the technical assistance work, throughout the life of the program. Other questions? Nick?
In terms of projects with vulnerable communities. If we, as a county agency, I have a Department of Community Services and a Department of Health Services who deal with these communities on a regular basis. If we include them in the project team, can that be, would that be considered as a valid past experience with these communities?
Something about the application scoring of their work, previous work.
Yeah, I don't see why not. If they're if they're included as part of your regional team, if your the staff from whatever department, right, mm-hmm. is included and identified in the regional team, I don't see why not.
Perspective. On page 15 of the document that describes the initial program, it says there will be a request for proposals posted by the Treasury to pre-qualified teams of consultants, and then after being evaluated, they'll be given an opportunity to bid on the regional project. So it sounds like there's a two-part process to that. Like first you have to get pre-approved, and then this pool of consultants that kind of bid on working on these different teams. That's the idea?
That's correct, right. So this will be, the RFP will be released through Treasury, if you're familiar with that process.
Yeah.
Treasury calls it an RFP, but I personally think it's more apt to call an RFQ. It's a request for qualifications. We will select through that process a number of qualified consultant teams. Once those consultant teams are selected and the regions are selected, we will go through what Treasury refers to as a mini bid process to match consultants to the regional teams to do the work.
Is there any likelihood that say you, bidding can be low bid or something like that, just based on dollars, which would be one scenario. But I'm thinking like worst case scenario, right? You get five consultants pre-approved, you have five communities, one consultant gets all five, and then the other four are like, oh man, we just wasted all this time and effort.
I can't comment on exactly how the process might work. Here for another hour and a half, folks. So, if you have questions, we're happy to go through.
I just have a quick question. I was not a part. It seems like I think I'm the only non-consultant here. But in any event,
Nick in the back.
All right, good. I should have had. I mean, obviously, this is your professional's job. I mean, it's a professional grant. I mean, that's who's exercising, doing all the legwork and everything. So, in terms of what I would have to do is the RFP. Procurement process for specific to this grant. So if I did my RFP in the beginning of the year, we selected our professionals, that's not satisfactory.
No, it would have to be a procurement process specific to this program.
Was that like that for the post-in?
I don't think so. Okay.
I thought that my understanding was that it was. They had to go through a separate process.
Right, but the town, we had the subrecipient agreement with the towns. It was up to them.
Yeah,
to procure. Yes.
So, I mean, like,
however,
I mean, I already went out for RFP, like
yeah.
I do every beginning of the year, like we did for the post-Sandy. There was no special process to actually get consultants to submit proposals specific to how they would handle this job.
Well, we're requiring it now.
Okay. Do you have the scope of outline for what?
I'm sorry, the...
Like, what...
the scope of work?
The scope of what the RFP or an idea?
No.
So, the RFP for... Little Ferry, for example, to hire a consultant?
Yeah, so
no,
it's
up to you to determine what you want to use that consultant for.
And it is not necessary to have a consultant, your own consultant, as part of this program. It is not a requirement of this program.
It's not a requirement of us. If you want a consultant, you have to go through a procurement process to bring them on to do what you want them to do as part of this program. It is not a requirement of the program to do so.
So the
I thought it was. I thought I had to be according to your guidance specific program.
Okay, so there's a little bit of confusion because we're using the word consultant in two different ways.
Okay.
So there are the consultant teams that we are procuring on your behalf that are going to be doing almost all of the work for this program. Separately, there are towns that have expressed interest in hiring their own consultants as part of the regional team.
To actually do the application.
So to do the application, we can't pay for it all. To participate or do some of the administrative functions of the region, possibly, or other whatever else the town may want to do, you are permitted to do that, to hire a consultant as part of your regional team, and do that so through a procurement process. It is not necessary as part of this program. It is not a requirement of this program to do that.
Okay, I think all these folks are here going to be doing that for dance. I mean, they're all here because they're going to be making application to you for the town that they're representing.
So, if I'm not mistaken.
Just to be from our perspective, the application will be coming from the prime, right, which will be a team member.
Right.
If the one of those team members has a consultant to assist them develop the application, that's up to you.
Okay.
But at no point.
But do I have to use a specific procurement process?
Not to develop the application because we will not fund those costs as part of this program.
Nick, can you go back to the structure?
All right, that's interesting.
You mean like the really early?
Yeah, the really early ones where the structure of the program.
Yes.
There it is, yeah. Okay, so you folks here, you're here because you heard about the notice of fund availability. What we're looking for right now are towns, at least three towns, one community-based organization. What was the other thing? That was it.
That's
right.
In addition, you can have a county participate.
Right.
You can have a regional organization. You can have a municipal authority. You can have more than one or several of any of those.
But we're looking to partner with municipalities, counties, utility authorities, blah, blah, blah. All right? The role of the paid consultants right now can be to help each or all of these towns, but if you already have them under contract, they can help you, but we cannot reimburse you for their time. If you want them to be reimbursed for their time, you would have had to go through a separate procurement process. We cannot use the contract you already have from the beginning of the year when you procure them.
Right.
Okay?
I mean, technically, I can do a non-fair and open to any professional I wanted. I could. I can appoint any professional. But, I mean, you have a specific procurement process for this. So, I mean, I'm assuming, you know, no municipality is doing this application. They're going to have a consultant.
We don't know yet.
That's up to the municipality.
It's the truth. I mean, no municipality is going to go through these processes without a consultant doing it. And the prime, I mean, and the consultant part of the prime submitting all these requests for reimbursement, isn't that the consultant that's the one that's generating the plan?
So a couple points. The department will not fund through this program any application costs. So if you have a consultant that is helping you develop the application for this program, if you're using your own staff time to develop the application for this program, the department will not pay for that, right? If after your region is selected, if you want, you know, a planning consultant or an engineering consultant, you know, a lot of towns have those, right, have those consultants, for that consultant to be reimbursed through this program, you have to go through a separate procurement process, right? And they are under contract to you, they are answering to you to do tasks that you identify for them.
In the application?
Through the program, as part of our funding, our grant to you. However, when you procure them, whatever tasks you provide to them, we will reimburse those if you go through separate procurement, right? The consultant teams that we will procure through the Treasury RFP, they will do the vast majority of the work for you. From our view, the consultant that you hire is you. It works for you, is maybe your representative, however you want to use them, but that's, you know, your procurement. You have to go through a separate procurement for that.
And again, it is you having your own consultant, from our perspective, is not a necessary or required piece of the program.
If you have
And I understand. I mean, you know, the application
right.
is the application. I submit whatever concept we want to build, hire a consultant to execute, whether it be a master plan or whatever is decided regionally.
So remember, though, the application for this is, for all intents and purposes, for us to identify where we are going to be providing those services. So your application here is not proposing a plan. You're not proposing projects to us.
We're just saying why you should give me
Why should I give you a grant, and why should I provide
okay,
you
I
these
it,
services?
Yeah, your group, not just
right.
you.
Right, yeah, my
yeah,
group.
Yeah,
okay.
The team.
Yes, your regional team,
mm-hmm.
right? If you have
okay,
the staff.
Thank you for clearing that up, because that was.
Do you have the staff to write the application or not? If you have the staff to participate through the project and you don't want to hire a consultant? That's completely up to you
yeah.
to do that, if you want to do that.
All the projects, planning, solution type stuff that is going to be developed as part of this program is going to be developed as part of the program.
Right.
So, and that's why we're going to be spending a significant chunk of the funds of this project on hiring these multidisciplinary expertise consulting
mm-hmm.
firms to support you. This is to support a whole region. It's not. And these are big projects.
So the award is $200,000
to
the regional team,
yes.
plus whatever resources you give to that region, or is it up to 200, including all these folks?
So the grant for the regional team will be up to $200,000. If you want to consider the services from the other procured
mm-hmm.
contractors, to add that $200,000, that's fine, but the procured contractors will get paid.
Like, we're paying them directly.
There's
all right, so it won't come out of my team.
No.
Okay.
You don't even have to worry about them right now.
Okay.
We're procuring
okay.
them. We're managing
yes.
them. We're handling that contract.
Okay.
We handle all of that. They will be providing the services to you through, and we will manage them.
Okay.
So that is not on your plate. The funding doesn't go to you and through you. They're completely separate.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I meant to ask before. Is there a page limit for the narrative?
We did not identify one in the grant in the application.
But please,
don't make it too long.
Don't send us any fluff, okay?
No
yeah, don't make it too long.
No.
Don't send us maps and
Maybe
plans
I'll
that
my
you've already done.
Narrative
okay, be concise,
good.
Please.
Of course.
Just as a point of clarification, in the previous meeting last week, you indicated that the consultant could not participate as part of the team and be part of the RFP pool. So just to clarify that understanding, the consultants cannot be part of the regional team that actually goes through that specific HUD procurement process and be part of the RFP team. Is that correct?
Right. So for clarification for everybody.
No double dipping.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. No double dipping. So if you may hire a consultant to represent you, to do tasks for you as part of the grant. Theoretically, that consultant could also respond to our RFP to procure consultants, in which case, even if that consultant is selected by the state through that procurement process, they could not be...
bid. They cannot make a bid.
They could what?
They couldn't make a bid.
They cannot bid on... they're doing the work in a region where they are under contract to the regional
right.
team. Okay. Right? No double dipping.
but that doesn't preclude, as she indicated, the consultants helping the regional team put together an application, because you're not funding that. That's coming through the team members, correct?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So we can help with the application,
sure,
and then separately participate in the RFP for consulting teams.
Right. Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
The consultant teams, will they be, I was under the impression that you just said maybe I'm wrong, will they be bidding on a region, or simply bidding to be the consultant team that the EP then gives to a region?
So again, I can only provide limited information at this point. The RFP, which we've identified here, right, which is really an RFQ, will be to pre-qualify, if you will, multidisciplinary consultant teams. That is not, by the way, limited to for-profit entities, right? That can be any group of entities who can meet the qualification requirements of that RFP. I lost my train of thought. Ask again, Bill, sorry.
Yeah, will the consultant teams be bidding on or providing qualifications to represent a certain region, or will simply they be given to the EP and the EP will then assign them a region?
So we certainly can't use the word assign. There will be a process that they have to go through. I just can't provide any specifics to that process at this point. How the matchmaking, if you will, for the recording, I did finger quotes, will occur between the consultants and the regional teams. So there'll be pre-qualified consultant teams, which will go through a process to eventually be matched with the regional teams to do the work there. Did I say use all my terminology right?
You're good.
Okay. Go ahead.
Follow-up related question. In the months leading up to this, the information I heard through grapevine was that teams be multidisciplinary, but not just that, but that there be multiple entities involved on a team. That's what was desired, not just say, one firm provides all the expertise, that they bring in other firms or other organizations. Is that right, or?
That is not a requirement.
Okay.
So the RFP will identify the qualifications that we believe are necessary for the program. In response to that RFP, so long as the responding entity can meet those qualifications, it can be one entity or it can be 20 entities. We don't have that limitation.
Okay. Thanks.
The line between planning and engineering is a little fuzzy for me right now.
It's fuzzy for us too.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, let's imagine a scenario like a flooding situation. Maybe your road is too low, or you've got to put in a pump station or something like that. Or that's the idea of the plan, right? So the intent of this grant is to bring the community up to the point where they have a plan in place, and it stops right there. Like, there's no actual drawings for how the pump would work, I guess.
So one, I'm a planner and not an engineer, and I'm not comfortable speaking to what the various levels of detail may be for, right, the design of a project. Additionally, the line that HUD has provided us is both gray, and I'm not sure how wide it is. So we have questions into HUD for additional guidance on that. If you all have thoughts and opinions on that, we're certainly welcome to consider that. I am not able to provide you additional detail on exactly how that would work at this point. But we're certainly willing to consider that and talk about it further as the plan is developed and as we get into the process further. Nick?
That consultant team, as kind of tied to that last question, that consultant team is also one of the tasks that they could do, may do, might not do, was preliminary cost estimates for projects, right?
I believe that would qualify as planning.
No. Okay, so that's where I think one of the issues will become. How detailed are those cost estimates without actual design plans and construction plans?
Yeah.
So there will be at least some of that because a cost-benefit analysis is part of our initial planning phase of our program. So there will be cost-benefit assessment done of an overall scenario of projects that are done and looking at the costs and benefits of them. I don't think that that's designed to get you to the actual details of a project, but there would be at least some cost assessment done of what a project might cost. Again, I'm also a planner. I don't know how detailed they're allowed to go into that, but.
And HUD has been opaque in their responses to us.
I think engineering plans would be the best way to implement a regional solution. I'm not too sure how a master plan or some of these other elements that are listed can be implemented regionally.
So I guess my question to you
yes.
is, right? So we've identified, we'll use the pump station as an example. The plan can identify this beyond doing a conceptual design, not even a conceptual development of that project, is where I'm not sure what is between that idea and the actual engineered drawings and where HUD will draw that line as to what cannot be funded.
Because this is one of the criteria, Nick, if I'm not mistaken, that it has to be an implementable project.
We want it to be an implementable project.
Like 40% that the region has the funds and ability to actually execute after it's complete.
There's no specific criteria for implementable. If you propose something, if the plan proposes something, for example, that is just by statute or regulation can just never be done. We probably don't want to include that in the plan.
In the action plan. Getting into a year or two now into the plan. You won't know that now.
But the other thing to be very clear is that
isn't that part of the application or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That was part of the plan. Okay.
Yeah, but the other thing to be very clear about, in the initial phase one planning process, it is permissible to identify many types of actions, including the development of infrastructure, as part of that phase one plan.
Okay.
It's not necessarily implementable as part of our phase two implementation. That doesn't mean that these aren't things that we wouldn't be looking to identify as part of your phase one action plan, as things that your community might want to go out then and procure through a separate process. The idea for this program is that to set you up in many different ways so that all the preparations for your future funding opportunities are set up. So you've done a cost-benefit assessment to say that certain infrastructure is needed and justifiable and will benefit your community. That's done as part of this program.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
What about the development of grade infrastructure?
I didn't hear, I'm sorry.
Grade infrastructure?
Uh-huh. Development.
So again, we absolutely want natural and nature-based infrastructure, green infrastructure, however you want to refer to it, to be included in these plans. It is actually a metric for us to report back to HUD. Similarly, though, just with the engineered type projects, we're limited in how far that can go toward implementation.
Bob
Cotto,
Langan Engineering. My question is that PowerPoint available on the website?
It isn't yet, but we'll get it up.
Thank you.
I think one of the overarching things about this program is that we would like communities and regions to push the envelope looking at the solutions that are available to them. We want our consulting teams to help you identify solutions that you have not thought about. We want them to help you identify solutions that possibly nobody has ever thought about. We want to have innovation be a fundamental part of this program. So that is one of the things that we see as a benefit of this program, is we're trying to use this planning process to get you to identify solutions that you have not thought of before, and try and then set you up for possible implementation down the road, whether it's through our own implementation process that we have available or through other implementation opportunities down the road.
We are part of the Rebuild by Design, the five towns that, I don't know if you're familiar with
them.
Yeah. Okay. So, what if Rebuild by Design took the lead for the communities? I don't know.
Rebuild by Design meaning the state?
Meaning if their staff.
But again, who's Rebuild by Design?
It's the DEP.
No, so we can't.
You can't do your own.
We can't.
No, I'm thinking, yeah. I mean, you know, we were just thinking in terms of, because they're building all this infrastructure and this planning, why not take some extra dollars and improve upon what they're already trying to achieve?
We can't fund ourselves to act in that manner.
Like another branch.
We can't
If your region is selected, you can, during the planning phase, you can work toward maybe linking what they're already doing to your project.
Right.
So, I mean, again, on that general point, if you have actions and projects and plans already developed, analyses already done, projects already underway, we're not starting from scratch. We are starting from work you've already done and moving that forward.
Yeah, we will use that.
$200,000 is very small in comparison to the $150 million that they're working with now. But I mean, I know Linda. I don't know if you know Linda, right? Linda Fisher. Mm-hmm. Mary Ellen, are you here for Monaki by any chance?
Well,
Mary Ellen's center?
Sure.
Yeah.
I know of Mary Ellen.
Yeah. So anyway, it was her idea, and I said that was pretty interesting. And then as I'm saying it, like the DP's the DP.
Well, would it be advantageous at all to gesture towards potential solutions, or you're in our application, or you're saying that we vet out because ultimately that's going to be part of the planning process? That's not going to weigh at all on our score.
To the extent that identifying things you've worked on already to demonstrate your capacity, that certainly makes sense. But we are not going to evaluate whether that project,
the merit of that project,
of that project, or something that you want.
So don't forecast a possible solution.
Exactly.
Or even a topic for resiliency. Okay.
So not for the application.
Right.
Once you're selected and once you're in the planning process, that's absolutely part of the conversation, but not as part of the application process. You don't need to do that.
Thank you.
Bill?
I just want to comment on the Rebuild by Design. Rebuild by Design is actually its own organization.
That's why I was kind of asking what she...
But it's HUD money, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the DEP that is coordinating.
Well, the projects are. Rebuild by Design is an organization that works with 100 cities around the world.
That's 100 resilient cities.
That's true. That is true.
So that's
100 resilient cities, I think, is what you're referring to.
So...
The term Rebuild by Design, yes, is an organization that does.
So it's a lot of it's HUD funded. There's the Rockefeller Foundation, which is part of it. There's, I don't know if RBD is its own existing entity at this point. And then there's the department, the state, who's actually implementing those projects in New Jersey. I don't, the government entities would not be eligible for reimbursement as part of this program.
Thank you.
All right, well, We'll be here again for another hour or so. If you have questions that we didn't get to today that you would like clarification on, please check the website. We will be posting FAQs, updates to the FAQ. And again, you can always send us additional questions at this email address. I also should note that there is, if you go to the website, there's a listserv that you can sign up for in case you want to be notified of any additional announcements associated with this. So for example, when the RFP and the NGO NOFA are released, that will go out through the listserv. I imagine we'll also issue a reminder for when applications are due to the listserv. If we update the application document in any significant way, we'll notify you through the listserv as well. So it makes sense to sign up for it, but again, that's up to you to do so. Okay?
Looks like the prime's got a lot of work to do. I don't want to be the prime. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
Myself. I'm new to the ecosystem, so I just graduated with a marketing degree from Rutgers. I'm working on an NSF-funded project through the I-Corps program.
I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, what is that?
So it funds university-based technology towards a commercial phase, and basically more research exercise. And on the same token, I've been living in Newark, so I'm connected with some of the community-based organizations, and I'm looking forward to corresponding with the sustainability office at this, through the mayor's office. Is that...
Natalie,
yeah. I haven't met her yet, but I'm I know of her, and I was hoping to present, or, you know, kind of give some insight to this. But I guess what the question I had specifically was, as a university-based commercial entity that's kind of transitioning away from that, can we act as a consultant?
I need more information.
So we work...
So again, we, I'm sorry, is who?
Paratrees. It's a UAV-based technology to better understand forest ecosystems and then also plant seeds.
Okay.
As I understand, Bill Zipse has some an interest group going for UAV technology, if I'm not mistaken. And I have some correspondence with his wife, Pam, who actually happens to be the urban forestry outreach coordinator through Rutgers, where I've applied for the Master's in Business and Science program. So I'm hoping to do... focus on global agriculture and forestry, specifically in urban communities that are, you know, I think, you know, there's a real potential for green infrastructure to be there as a part of that.
Yeah, green infrastructure that solution is absolutely a priority for us, yes.
Yeah.
So I think my answer to your question is that we can't comment on whether specific entities are eligible for specific activities.
Understandably so.
You have to take a look at the description in the notice of funds availability and the application document.
Okay.
To make those determinations.
Okay, very well.
Yeah, pass it along to the university or whoever it is that you're working with.
Okay.
And then determine whether you guys...
I work very closely, well, not very closely, but closely with the community-based organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, Newark Science and Sustainability. That's more focused on urban agriculture, but I think the level of engagement that they have with the vulnerable communities will offer
show them the NOFA.
Right. Okay.
Right.
The application document.
The application document. Yeah. That's right. The application document.
Will
that,
do.
That emanated from the NOFA.
Right. The NOFA is just the legal document.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the application document's what you want to look at.
All right.
Do it soon.
I will. I'll do it. I'm going to do it in an hour. As
good for
fact.
You. Yeah. Because you only have till July 20th. Is it 20th? 20th. To submit.
Pleasure meeting you. Alec,
likewise.
By the way.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
And your name?
Nick.
Nick?
Michael.
Michael. And Carmen.
Carmen.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Take care.
Hey, you want to send me to pick up something?
So we're here for what, another half an hour?
40 minutes.
40 minutes?
No, great.
I mean, honestly, it would save time, so trying to stop on the way home if you want to.
I don't want to stop on the way home. I mean, I don't care. I can stop on the way home, but I
do. Well, I don't want to stop on the way home because I'd like to get the
right.
Get moving, and I got to try to hopefully get
traffic
to a baseball game. I'm shutting down the recording.
Yeah.
By,
yeah.
It's still going.
No, that's all right. Just, yes. Okay, you're good.
Stop.
Damn, that's weird.
You said stop.